This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The president twitches his thumbs to influence the justice system, but the justice system wants, as they say, to be free. And that includes law enforcement. Local police departments are required under the Freedom of Information Act to disclose information about staffing and operations. So too the national agencies in charge of Immigration and Border Control, CBP and ICE. But under the Trump administration, those agencies have aspired to greater secrecy. The Daily Beast's Betsy Swan have reported on their efforts in 2018 to join the ranks of the, quote, intel community, agencies like the CIA, DIA, and the NSA that have sweeping powers to surveil, detain, and inquire without the risk of the public finding out, usually. But they were rebuffed in those efforts. ICE was granted enhanced spying power, however, and late last month, you could say CBP won second prize. It was redesignated a security agency like the FBI and Secret Service and would no longer have to comply with FOIA requests. We know this because of a memo signed by CBP's acting chief Mark Morgan leaked to Ken Klippenstein, D.C. correspondent for The Nation. He says the agency is shielded now in crucial ways from the public's prying eyes.
Exempt from disclosure now is information concerning CBP officials, what their roles within the agency are, how much they're paid, things that prior to this designation were completely public. You know, when you compare that to, say, local police, you can see a police badge, you can see their name, you can go and verify what their role is, who they are. That now will be something that CBP can push back against and not release if they so wish. When you're deprived of information, not just about the agency generally, but also what the individuals that comprise it are doing and what their revolving door relationships or lobbying that may exist, it obscures a whole lot that would afford the public a sense of how these institutions really function.
Is there a piece that you've read or maybe that you've written recently that simply couldn't have been possible under this change?
Anytime you see either children or individuals dying while in CBP custody, it's going to become impossible for the public to find out if there was a case of negligence. We're not going to know who was involved in this death. The courts and lawsuits provide another avenue to learn these things, but it's much more cost intensive, that takes a lot more time than it would to just file a FOIA request. So these deaths, as we've seen, not just in CBP, but in Immigration and Customs Enforcement and other DHS, Homeland Security subcomponents, a lot of that will become much more difficult to learn about.
So you said that the memo was signed by the acting CBP commissioner. It's just a functionary running that office now, I guess. Do you have any idea with whom this originated?
Well, that's part of my frustration with this story is I reached out to them for comment and they never responded to my request for comment. And I contacted them repeatedly. And I'm not the only reporter for whom this has been a problem. So when their public affairs doesn't respond to me and I'm no longer able to learn under FOIA requests what's going on, what do we have left to learn about what's happening?
Do you think that American citizens might be inclined to let this go because it thinks it doesn't affect them? And would that be a reasonable assumption?
I think that Americans probably would think that. However, you have to look downstream from that. Every news article you read, many of them are based on open records. Agencies like CBP and ICE, these are agencies concerned with primarily individuals on U.S. soil who perhaps are not citizens. I don't think it's a very wise idea to presuppose that that means that those will be the only individuals who are targeted.
So how permanent is this redesignation? Could this be undone by some future Democratic administration?
Yes. My understanding is that a future president could reverse this. The question is if they will, because just to take it as example, the Patriot Act and the post-9/11 changes to the intelligence apparatus that we have and how that interacts with civil liberties, we saw a considerable contraction in the privacies and freedoms that we enjoy. And President Obama did reform a lot of that, but he didn't set it back to what it was pre-9/11. And so the question to my mind would be, how much of it are they going to be willing to roll back?
What about the argument that the administration would make that this protects people when their personal information is in public view, then they can become targets?
My first question would be then why they don't make that argument publicly. Why didn't they tell Congress this? Why did the public have to learn about this new designation because a document was leaked to me? In addition to that, why didn't they answer my questions once I obtained it? To their credit, they did verify the authenticity of the document to an NBC affiliate that posted it subsequent to my report. But generally, the administration has shied away from articulating much in the way of a sort of rationale. You know, that makes me nervous. It certainly did not come out of nowhere. This is a push by the administration generally to beef up the powers and privileges of the immigration authorities.
Ken, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ken Klippenstein is the nation's D.C. correspondent. Coming up, how hanging out with a family for 30 years can open up the whole world of global immigration. This is On the Media.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.